It's really dangerous on Las Vegas streets. UNLV just reported that over about the last month, 29 people died in cars, motorcycles, bikes, and people just walking, crossing the street. Compared to last year, that's a whopping 25% increase, and it's not a record for a month. It's just a very high number. We've been talking about traffic deaths on this program for years, and there is a state office of traffic safety, but local leaders don't think that's enough, so Clark County wants to create its own office of traffic safety. Our dangerous roads are an issue that County Commissioner Michael Naft has been talking about for years. Commissioner Naft, welcome back to the program.
It's good to be back with you, Joe.
As I said, there's already a traffic safety office at the state level. What do you think a Clark County Office of Traffic Safety might be able to do that the state can't get to or isn't doing?
Well, you're right, Joe. Not only do we have the state office and Andrew Bennett, who I know we'll hear from, who does a great job there, but we have so many people in this community working on the issue. And I think that highlights even more so why we need somebody within the county to focus on traffic safety, because many people might not even realize that we have over a dozen departments internal to the county who have a significant role in keeping people safe on our roadways, but yet we don't have anybody whose full-time job it is day-to-day to work with those dozen-plus department heads, to work with the staff in those departments on best practices and what can we do to keep people safe in our community, and then also work with the external agencies out there who are focused on this. So whether it's on the front end of the problem, you know, we talk about it in terms of engineering, education, enforcement. So whether you're looking at the front end of that through engineering and departments like comprehensive planning or public works, or on the education piece through our PIO, through our Office of Economic Development, our Public Works Information Officer, or on the enforcement side, we fund the Metropolitan Police Department, we have the Clark County Fire Department, and of course we have the Clark County Coroner Office. So all of these departments have a role in this, but having one person who is focused singly on solving the problem and helping connect the dots is why I wanted to create this office.
Now, you've been involved in this for years. In fact, I think I spoke at one of your events a couple of years ago, maybe it's 2 or 3 years ago, where you're talking about traffic issues, and the whole audience was full of, you know, guys in uniforms. Just from that, I mean, I'm sure you have some ideas on what needs to be addressed or changed, even though I know the county is going to be looking at other states and how they do this. But off the top of your head, give me some ideas on what you think might change to make things better, even with the caveat that these are just ideas.
Sure. You're right. I believe that was June of 2019 that we came together for the Clark County Traffic Safety Symposium. And, mm-hmm. and there were a lot of people on the enforcement side in uniforms there. But what I really liked about that event was we also had a lot of engineers in the room and people who are right. looking at this from the front end of the problem. And that's, I think, the answer to your question is it's not, there is no one silver bullet or we would have solved this a long time ago. But you look at the problem holistically. What are we doing on the front end to make sure that roads are being designed in a way that keep people safe? What are we doing to communicate to the public? We all sort of growing up here, we always talked about how people come here from all over the place and they bring their bad driving habits with them in many ways. So making sure that we're communicating to the public on the rules of the road and what we can be doing to keep each other safe. But then, of course, as you mentioned, on the tail end of that enforcement, what are we doing to work with our law enforcement entities to make sure that they're really prioritizing traffic safety?
Do they not prioritize it now? Many, many years ago, when I covered police here, most cops I talked to said if they weren't in traffic patrol, they really didn't do much to stop speeders and that kind of thing. Is that what you're talking about? Getting them to do more of that?
I do think it's important that because of the significance of this problem, because we keep again and again breaking all the worst records on this issue, because of the significant cost, which I'm sure we'll get into later, associated with traffic mm-hmm. fatalities and accidents in our community, I think certainly we need to reprioritize, and every officer in the department should have a role in traffic safety, is my opinion.
You know, it's been reported again that the annual cost of all motor vehicle crashes in Clark County is more than $1.4 billion. That's the public cost, I believe. Where does that dollar amount come from?
Yeah, you're right. That's from a CDC report that put that was in 2018. They estimated the deaths in Nevada specifically at those figures. So when you're looking at fatals, it's 1.4 million per fatality that we have. And I always look at that in terms of if you haven't been personally impacted. I know not everybody has, but while many people have had the personal impact of a loss or a serious injury, look at the financial cost, because we're already paying the bill here in Clark County. Taxpayers are already covering the cost. I mentioned some of those departments, but you look at the property damage to our community. You look at the fact that the county, again, from the front end of the problem, our roads are mostly Clark County roads. And on the back end of the problem, UMC is our county hospital, and the coroner's office is paid for by the county. So we're paying the cost. So every one of these fatalities and serious accidents that we can remove from the record books is not only going to be the right thing to do because it's the humane thing, but it's also going to be the prudent financial move.
I'm talking to Michael Naft. He is the Clark County Commissioner for District A, and he's spearheading this move to create this Office of Public Safety at the county level. Mike, I wonder if this office really could change things. I'm going to make a prediction based on years of cynicism. We'll see big reports on how bad it is out there, how we need more enforcement, maybe we need to change speed limits. All of those things have been talked about before, yet it keeps happening, and the changes... How do you change what's at the heart of this, which is human behavior?
You're right. It's hard, and it's not going to happen overnight. And one additional staff member focusing on this problem isn't going to solve all of our issues. But the fact is that there are dots that can be connected between departments, between agencies, work that's already been done, studies that have already been completed that we can really put into action. So I don't think the purpose of this office is just to study the problem more. I see this as really a hands-on approach to fixing things. And another key point about this is to ensure that in Clark County, we're leaving no stone unturned. So right now, there are federal grants, there are dollars available out there that we might not be taking full advantage of simply because there is nobody looking out for those opportunities every single day. So in addition to helping solve the problem, they're also going to use the resources that are available federally and throughout the state to really prioritize the problem in Clark County. We know that Clark County has, you look at my district alone, I have Flamingo and the 215, I have Flamingo and the 15, and I have Searchlight and everything in between. So the problem, there is no one-fixed solution for this problem, but there are techniques that can be implemented. There are thoughtful ways of designing roads and then building them that can be implemented to really address this problem.
David from Summerlin has written in. He says there is a lot of speeding on the roads. It's insane. What can be done about it? Automatic enforcement devices or something like that. Is that something, Commissioner Naft, do you think, the cameras that they put on traffic lights in some cities around the country, that would automatically send a ticket to somebody who does what a lot of people see in Las Vegas, run a red light or speeding? Is anything like that on the table?
I think absolutely implementing technologies has to be on the table. Specifically, that you tend to run into some privacy concerns. You tend to also run into issues of people stopping short and it causing accidents in some cases. But no doubt there are technologies that can be implemented. The RTC has actually done a really good job in my district on Eastern Avenue, where we have a lot of backups leaving Anthem. They've implemented some adaptive signal controls from Beckler to Pebble on Eastern Avenue that have helped cut down commute time but also improve safety in that area. So, yeah, that kind of goes to what I was saying about leaving no stone unturned, making sure if there are technologies out there that can be helping, not just on the enforcement side, but on the actual moving of people throughout our roads, that's exactly what we need to be looking at.
Commissioner Naft, I've talked about this so many times in this program. I think one year, I don't know when it was, maybe it was 2019, it seemed like it got leveled off or dipped maybe a little bit. But it does only seem to get worse. And this year it seems very, a lot worse. But I wonder what the tipping point was for you that's forced you to push for this county office of traffic safety.
I've, as you referenced, been interested in this issue for a long time because I really believe it's one that impacts every single member of our community, whether you are a driver getting to work, whether you're a passenger headed to school, whether you're using public transportation or a vulnerable road user outside of a vehicle just trying to cross the road. Everybody in our community uses these roads. So I don't know that there was one tipping point. I think something that has really stood out to me are these the financial impact of road accidents in our community and connecting the dots when you look at, as I said, all of the inner county departments and agencies that have a stake and have a role on this issue. I think that is what no doubt put the weight on my shoulders to try and do something about this, knowing just how great the impact is to the county.
Michael Naft is with us. He is Clark County Commissioner for District A, and he's spearheading an effort at the county level to create an Office of Traffic Safety. And Colin from Las Vegas, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, so I've lived in five different cities all over the United States from east to west coast, and I have to say that Vegas takes the cake in terms of worst drivers. But one of the things that I find most horrifying is that in any other city, I've never seen this happen, but so many cars at night drive without their high beams on or their headlights on. It is, I see one every single night, and it's, and there's no exaggeration there. Every single night I see one. And being from living in the East Coast, out west, down south, there's consequences for drivers who are speeding in high populated areas. And the solution is simple. It's traffic. It's speed traps. It's traffic cameras. You know, they're in all of the roads in Vegas. You know, Clark County needs to catch up. They need to create consequences so that people are less incentivized or just feel more free to just zip through places and at high speeds. And, you know, driving at night, there's a lot of roads that have, you know, walls that, you know, prohibit your ability to see left and right when you're approaching, you know, a light. I slow down at green lights in the middle of the night because I'm not sure, because I've seen it happen. Cars just blitz through
red lights,
and it happens. It happens so consistently, yeah. And so I remember when I first moved out here, within just the same week, I had two close friends of mine get into car crashes, and they were both DUI related. They were not drinking, but the people that hit them were drinking.
Yeah, you bring up so many good points. In fact, Colin, I'm not making this up, last night driving home, it was about dusk. I couldn't see a car, but I thought a car was coming because they didn't have their lights on. I flashed my high beams at them and they turned the lights on. I don't know why that happens, but I see it all the time too. But I want to turn your question about the cameras on streetlights to Erin Breen. She's coordinator of the Traffic Safety Coalition at the UNLV Transportation Research Center. Erin, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
Erin, do those devices work?
Absolutely, they work. The problem that we've had is we have a law in the state of Nevada that says that any citation issued has to be from a police officer, and if you use a camera, it has to be in the hands of a police officer. Not that we have not tried to repeal that law. I agree that technology could help us greatly in this effort, and that we should be taking a very hard look at speed and red light running cameras. He makes such great points. I mean, he sounded like me, as a matter of fact. So technology is important. Awareness. So he is so aware. I think that we have so many drivers in our city that aren't as aware as he is. And maybe it comes from coming from other communities where drivers drive more conscientiously. The no headlights, stay away from those people. That's one of the first things that you look at for someone that's driving impaired, is that they forget to turn their headlights on. And that's an issue in our community. You know, speed and impairment are the two biggest issues and the reasons that we're losing so many lives.
And Matthew from Las Vegas, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I have a few comments for this whole issue. I'm a Las Vegas native, been here for over 40 years. The main reason why traffic is so bad is because of our influx of people from other states who do not know how to drive, especially west of here. They cannot use a signal. They cannot merge. They cannot read. They cannot speed up to get on a freeway as it's designed to do. That's our number one problem. As far as creating a new bureaucracy to study traffic safety or to enforce traffic safety, are we really going to waste our money and time with that, considering that the legislature just decriminalized traffic infractions? So it's now a civil matter. It's not, has no real penalty other than a fine, if it's even that.
Yeah.
So how are we going to waste our time on that one? And then as far as traffic cameras, I work in security and surveillance on systems. Those things are technologically irresponsible. You shouldn't be relying on a machine to enforce the law.
Wait, let me ask you this, Matthew. You know, sure. This state is notorious for not wanting to increase taxes to hire more people for something like that. So if we don't have the technology, what would you say if the county came back and said, we need more law enforcement specifically dedicated to traffic enforcement?
The Traffic Enforcement Division of Metro is pretty widespread now. There's just not enough information going out to encourage people to drive right. There's so many distractions and so many other reasons why. I'm driving right now, seatbelt on, headset on my head. I'm looking at four other people sitting at a light, reading their phones, or talking on it while holding their phones. There's no enforcement here. They just go away. I watch cops not do anything. There's no education. There's no enforcement.
I'm going to hold on if you want to, Matthew. I might get back to you. Aaron Breen, you're shaking your head while he's talking. Give me your impressions of what he's saying.
Well, he's a human being just like the rest of us, and he has the opinion that drivers are all terrible, yet after his multitude of reasons, he says that he's on his phone while he's driving. So he has the opinion that as long as it's not in his hand, like the people next to him, that makes him a safe driver. No one belongs on their phone, whether it's in your hand or it's not. It's the cognitive impairment. And so it's easy for us to point at other people. There is a lot of information out there. The problem is, how do you get people to understand that we're talking to you when everybody dismisses their own idiosyncrasies when they're behind the wheel? Crashes happen to other people, not them.
Andrew Bennett, PIO, Public Information Officer, I should say, for the Nevada Office of Public Safety. Matthew also made some interesting comments about the change in the law, going from criminal penalties to civil penalties. He also said he thinks Metro already has traffic enforcement all over Clark County, that we have enough of it. I got the impression you disagree with that.
Absolutely, and thanks for having me on. And, you know, just to hit some numbers here real quick, just some plain statistics. Number one, 13% of our fatalities are due to folks not licensed in the state of Nevada. This is by far a local issue. Number two, there's 4,100 officers with the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. 90 are assigned to motorcycles, and everybody knows in Clark County, if you get stopped by a motorcycle, you're probably getting the ticket. It's been a long time since anybody's been stopped for a traffic violation for the purpose of traffic enforcement by a black and white. And so 90-something officers on motorcycles compared to 4,100. That isn't widespread for a large valley like ours. I think they do the best they can. I think the Traffic Bureau has done some really innovative enforcement techniques. And I think that they're doing the best with what they have. But at the end of the day, traffic enforcement and the traffic safety is the number one quality of life issue that we have in our valley. And so to have only, you know, maybe 91 folks, on motorcycles out there dedicated specifically to traffic safety enforcement, I don't think anybody would say that's enough.
What about the change from criminal penalties to civil? Do you see that as a major problem, a contributor?
I'm glad I was a part of the discussion when we were going through this change. And I learned a lot as someone who was, we're only allowed to educate, we're not allowed to advocate as a division, part of the executive branch. And when this conversation came up, I learned a lot. There's a lot of other states that don't have criminal codes for their traffic laws. I think we were one of eight states that still had criminal traffic penalties. I'm very glad with the laws that we made and that we kept criminal. Like DUI should also always be a crime, and it is in the state of Nevada. But I don't think anybody should go to warrant for an equipment violation if they have a broken taillight. And that was an issue that we had to address as a, you know, where we are right now with society. But there has to be penalties, and those penalties will continue to be enforced.
Daniel from Las Vegas, welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Go ahead, Daniel.
So I've been a professional driver here in Las Vegas since 2007. I've seen a lot of nonsense on these roads. And I agree with Matthew almost entirely where he says education is part of the problem. Currently, the way our licensing system is you read a 30-page pamphlet, take a 40-question multiple-choice test, and then you have free rein on the streets. We should have something similar to, and I don't know how it would be set up, but something similar to Finland. Back in the 80s, in the heyday of rally racing, there was a maxim. If you wanted to win, you hire a Finn. The Finnish are some of the best drivers in the world, and it's because they have an incredibly extensive driver training program that people participate in from as early as age 13. And it's stuff like teaching them how to operate their vehicle when they've lost control of it on a wet skid pad, among other things.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like mandatory driver training to get a license should be the thing. And I don't mean where we recently changed. I don't know if it was a law or just a policy where if you want to get your license before you turn 18, you take a driver's ed class while you're in high school. That is not sufficient because my own daughters have said that they'll just wait until they turn 18 to get their license so they don't have to take the class.
Yeah.
Driver training.
Yeah. By the way, Daniel, you said you're a professional driver. What do you do?
I currently work for a fairly large paint company as a delivery driver.
Okay.
Not going to name them. You've probably heard of them, though. They want to cover the earth.
Okay. All right. Well, so you obviously see a lot that's out there. And I really, really do appreciate the call. And I have a few emails here I want to read. This is from Yoel. I'm new to Las Vegas, excuse me, and after more than 30 years on East Coast roads, I was shocked at the high speed and red light violations. For every 2 to 3 cars that I pass at 50 miles an hour on 45 mile per hour roads, 8 to 11 cars will pass me. Marilyn also emailed, said not enough drivers use their turn signal. It's so easy to do and so helpful. Running red lights, my son was visiting from California. I advised him not to go on green lights before looking both ways and looking again and again. We drove around town for a while, and he said, oh, my God, you were not wrong. Speeding through parking lots, she also adds, I watch people almost get hit, especially children all the time. And I've seen that so many times as well. And I want to get to more of your calls. Todd from downtown Las Vegas, welcome to the program.
Hi, Joe. I moved here from Portland, Oregon about 12 years ago. And they have some pretty progressive laws just in general. But one of the things that they passed a few years ago was very strict regulations and ticketing for, cellular use. You can't hold it. You can't be seen. If a police officer actually sees you holding your phone, it's a $500 violation. And I think there might be a incremental fining. But if you get the first time, the second time, and it gets higher and higher every time. And I think that's something that should be absolutely mandatory,
yeah,
probably in every state. And the other observation that I have, I'm a filmmaker, and I've worked in almost every major city in the United States and driven in all of them. And when I moved here, I was flabbergasted at how bad the drivers were and reckless. Just driving down the freeways, and I'm sure everyone has seen this, where you're going, maybe the speed limit, you can push it to 5 miles an hour or whatever. But somebody will come behind you at 100.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They zip around, and they zip between the cars, all going around 65 or 75 miles an hour.
Or if you don't see that car coming up to your left, they're coming up so fast, if you happen to get out, they're going to hit you. It happens all the time.
And I'm just curious, and I don't know if there's been studies about this in Vegas, because it happens so frequently. It's like, why are these people in such a hurry? Where are they going? Are they, inebriated? you know, what is this phenomenon of zipping through traffic, the freeways at 100 miles an hour? I mean, why does it happen here more frequently?
Todd, thank you so much for that call. Andrew Bennett, you want to weigh in here?
And I think this is something that the commissioner mentioned, and as well as Aaron did. It's roadway design. When you talk about the ability to go fast and the how comfortable you are with that speed, you know, there's several examples that we can give, you know, that there's major parkways that are almost freeways going through neighborhoods. And when you have an extremely wide lane that you feel comfortable, you're going to go, you're going to push that speed limit. And, you know, speeds are designed off of this, you know, arcane idea of the 85 percentile of, you know, it's let's design the roads and put the speed limits to how fast, you know, 85% of the public is going. We've had successful projects with engineering that, you know, Fremont East is a prime example. The Main Street's a prime example. That slowed people down. It was an economic boom for the area, and it's much, much safer. And so when you're comfortable, you're going to go as quick as you want.
I want to turn to Commissioner Michael Neft. Commissioner Todd, the caller from downtown Las Vegas, mentioned fines just for having the phone in your hand, something they'll do in Oregon, more law enforcement. Where are law enforcement? And I bring this up to you because you want to create an Office of Traffic Safety. Part of that office, I would think, would involve lobbyists at the state level when they go to Carson City every 2 years and trying to get more permission, because this really is a state-run county, permission to enforce or bring about some of those laws. Is that how you might envision the Clark County Office of Traffic Safety?
Well, there's no doubt that consequences cause reactions, and I think that's an important part of the conversation. But my hope with this office, rather than to lean on the state, is the other way around, lean internal to the county and work with the levers that are in our control, which are so many. We've talked a lot throughout, pretty much every caller has brought up either the engineering, the education, or the enforcement piece, those three E's that Aaron talks about all the time, and it's so right. And so, no, I think this is more about looking internally to the county, working with our sister organizations and entities on what is within our control, what is within our power to change. And a big part of that is that engineering and the design of the roads. Speed kills. There's no two ways about it. The faster you're going, the more likely you are to die while you're behind the wheel. So having roads that are designed as long, as wide as they are, maybe isn't the best approach here. Looking at, Commissioner Jones brought to the agenda on the same day as my item, a discussion about complete streets and the potential there, looking at more progressive ways of designing our roads that can utilize calming traffic calming measures to approach it that way. It's also, everybody we've talked to today has really circled around the issue of quality of life. That's what this is all about. Mm-hmm. You want to feel safe in your community, whether you're crossing the street, going to school, or behind the wheel of a car. So things like the Dusk to Dawn program, the fact that, you know, as the hours change and the daylight gets shorter, the impact that has on our roads is a huge part of this conversation as well. Creating conditions that are going to set people up for success is what we want to do here.
Aaron Breen, speed impairment, two of the primary causes of fatalities. And you've talked about the ways roads are designed. Commissioner Neft just mentioned complete streets, maybe changing road designs. What about, and people bring this up to me quite a bit, stoplights are so long that they feel compelled to speed up when that light finally changes because they're just so annoyed that the light was so long. What about that? Is that part of a potential change?
Well, it certainly should be part of the conversation, and being able to time our signals better so that, you know, in Europe, they call it the green wave, that if you go the speed limit, you can ride that wave further. And so if we had speeds that were lower, if we had streets that were constructed so that people were less comfortable going 10 miles over the speed limit, we could do more to move traffic. And this all comes back to education, because everybody hears something like, oh, they want to an office of traffic safety countywide, how is that going to affect me? And it all comes back to how it affects you. Excuse me. People fail sometimes to realize how much it's their quality of life, as Commissioner Neff just said. Kids don't walk to school. Kids don't bike to school. People, when there's a grocery store a block away, they get in their car to drive around their walled-in community because it's the only way for them. They have to go a mile out of their way. All of these things contribute. Traffic signal time, I love it. You know, when engineers are talking and it's 180 seconds. And I say, you know, I'm terrible at math, but even I know that's 3 minutes. 180 seconds sounds a lot better. So it does have a lot to do with it. But what all that comes down to, Joe, is people not giving themselves enough time to get where they're going. And it's all about them. And they're in a hurry. And to wait for 3 minutes, they'll take a risk of running that light rather than wait 3 minutes. And I know that everyone who drives for more than 5 minutes a day has experienced the person zipping in and out of traffic that puts your life in danger, but they're at the next red light right next to you.
Absolutely.
So, and you want to roll down your window and say,
"You idiot!
Hello, yeah, here we are." It comes down to how we engineer our roads and how we educate people, and we have to think more globally as a community and not internally as it's all about us. Because you'll care a lot if the next person that dies is someone you love. And that's what everybody has to keep in mind here.
I want to get to Calvin from Henderson. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure, go ahead.
Yes, I want to touch base with two things. I think the first thing I would like to talk about is cell phone usage. I remember maybe 2-3 years ago, Nevada implemented the law, if you're driving, you're on a cell phone, you got stopped, you got a ticket. I remember one night I get off work, in the stoplight, I just look at my phone, and then a police officer stopped me. And then he say, "Hey, it's the law right now. You need to be careful." And they just give me a warning. And then I really appreciate that. The reason is after that, I never use my cell phone in my car.
Oh,
okay.
Right.
Second thing is I'm a cyclist. I think is we see more and more people using the street. And then I think education needs to be there. The driver and the cyclist, we both have law to obey. I know that some of the cyclists, they're really reckless. And then I am a cyclist. I know them. I know that too. But I know that sometimes a car right next to a cyclist, they purposely go to really close to the cyclist and for no reason. Hey, we are a cyclist more afraid of you than you afraid of me. I'm really, really afraid that you're gonna hit us. We don't want to get hit because hey, you're ruining your life and you ruin our lives. And then just at the end of the day, we are everybody's brother, sister, father, and mother. And then if you kill someone, you feel bad the rest of your life. Just be careful. Just be aware. We are all sharing the road. We are in pandemic. A lot of people lost their car. A lot of people need to be walking, need to use like bicycle to go to work. Just be careful. Just watch where you're going. Slow down.
Slow down. Yeah. Calvin Henderson, thank you so much for that call. I want to go now to David in Las Vegas. David, are you there?
Good morning.
Morning.
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
Good.
All
go
right.
ahead.
I appreciate the comments a lot of the other callers have had, and I echo those. I can say I think you have hit it right on the head regarding the human nature factor with the drivers and how do you change that. I've been driving, not to date myself, but in Las Vegas since I was first able to get my license in 1984. Mm-hmm. And anecdotally speaking, of course, my observation is that the changes in the driving behavior have been significant in the last couple of years in particular. And one of the recent phenomena I've seen a lot more is the drifting. If you're in a lane, a boulevard, avenue with multiple lanes, folks just for no apparent reason start drifting right into your lane from either side. They're distracted, and for what reason? Obviously, it's got to be phones. I think we pretty much can all agree that is the culprit. And when you drive by, you tend to see folks with their head dropped down, or perhaps you're waiting at a stoplight and you're behind somebody and the light turns green and they just don't go because they're on their phones. And I joke with my wife saying, boy, when you're the first person in line in a stoplight, you've got a responsibility to get that traffic going.
Especially with our slow lights. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no doubt about that. Yeah, and, you know, I'm not just here to complain. I mean, there are some solutions and some of them have been discussed. One of them is enforcement. And I know that, you know, bleeds into some budgetary issues we may have with Metro or allotment for that type of thing. I can tell you again, anecdotally speaking, that 2-mile stretch of road on West Tropicana between Rainbow and Durango along Spanish Trails was a hotbed of police motorcycle cop activity, where the behavior of the folks who drove down that really did change because they were out there in droves issuing tickets, and that did change. So enforcement is a way. As somebody who's got three sons, two of whom have been driving for a few years now, and my youngest is 15, will be driving soon, it is scary out there. I joke with the older two. I go, well, if you can learn to drive out here, you can pretty much drive anywhere. And so one is enforcement. The other one is, this may be a little bit cynical, I can't wait for the day that automated cars come about and everyone is, you know, forced to kind of, I don't say force, but go that way. And believe me, I've got an old 68 Mustang. I love the freedom of driving. I love getting out there. I love the feel of it. But I don't think that we're going to be able to change that human nature that you discussed and get people away from those phones. If they're automated, that may be something. And then finally, some people have mentioned the defensive driving. I'm sure you remember Gary Waddell recently passed away. Yeah. Great guy. He was talking about him giving his advice to his son about driving, and Gary liked driving, riding motorcycles. And he said, don't ever be the first person or the last person in the intersection. Wait for that time to clear if you can. And boy, that sure rings true. I mean, I've talked about the drifting in lanes, but just yesterday driving to work, cars speeding through school zones like it didn't exist, passing school buses with the stop signs out. I mean, really pretty awful behavior.
Well, David, you really bring up some great points. One of them is, you know, I think one of the biggest factors here has to be enforcement. Andrew Bennett from the Nevada Office of Public Safety brought this up. Not just 90 officers with the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department assigned to traffic. And I've covered police for a long time. I had before, and I know if the officers in the black and whites do not do a lot of traffic enforcement, if any, because they have so many other things to deal with. Changing that might be one of the solutions. You talked about the change on Tropicana when a lot of these motorcycle cops were there. But you brought up an interesting point about automated cars as well. And I don't know if there's research out there, Aaron Breen from UNLV, about those cars. I've driven, though, in a Tesla. And if there are cars around you and you want to make a change, it won't let you do that. I mean, you really have to force it. Is that a potential long-term solution here?
Well, I think it's part of that technology that we will eventually rely on. But so I've been driving in Las Vegas for 10 years longer than David has.
Okay.
And I don't know that in my natural lifetime that we'll see that happen. So even though it's on the horizon to help, as a particularly the pedestrian advocate, you know, I always have to point out that there's still the human factor. So, you know, the first fatality with an automated vehicle was because a pedestrian, well, actually it was a woman walking her bicycle, so she was both a cyclist and a pedestrian. We can't rely on technology to save lives. Will there be a day sometime in the distant future, I think, where you can program your car and tell it where you want to go and it won't let you go over the speed limit? I hope so. But in the short term, it's not going to save our problems in my lifetime. I honestly believe in my lifetime, we will not see that as a solution for human behavior.
Commissioner Neft, before we go, we are seeing a lot of sprawl in Clark County. That leads to more roads, especially in your district, District A, which is the southwestern part of Clark County. And most of the times we see homes go up before the roads leading to them are improved. I mean, if you look in the southwestern part of the Clark County, it's growing like crazy, yet there are very odd places where the road goes from four lanes to two. The lighting is bad. The curbs are drop-offs or there's no curb. Good luck if you go slow there because you're not used to the area because people who live there are zipping by or they're tailgating you. Can that part change at the county level? Is there a way for the county to say to developers, if you're going to develop an area, we don't want just the roads going right up to the house to be improved. You have to pay more so that we can improve the roads leading to your development.
That's a great point. In Clark County, we have the adage development pays for development. So because of that, you tend to have a ton of this sawtooth, particularly in the areas that you're talking about in the southwest where Commissioner Jones and I represent. And because of that, you might be driving a half a mile and it'll be, like you say, a wide road that's developed out, that's well lit. And then all of a sudden you have to merge over, you reduce a lane and that causes no doubt accidents. It also causes problems with people who feel like they have the ability to pick up speed and to escalate their speed, and then all of a sudden they reduce a lane and there's a car right in front of them. So yes, development has to be part of the solution. That's kind of what I keep leaning into when I talk about engineering through the internal offices that we have control over. So whether it's through the process we're going through right now, which is a rewrite of Title 30, our development code, through the Comprehensive Planning Department, whether it's utilizing our public works team, absolutely those are part of the solutions. I'd also just want to comment on, you mentioned that yes, the county commission had a discussion about this item. Mm-hmm. Direction's been given, so this doesn't need to come back for a formal vote. This is in the process. I don't want this to take many months. We have a problem. This is an emergency as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
We are losing tons of money and tons of lives on our roads, so this is one way that we can connect the dots and fix the problem.